good evening, everybody, and welcome into the Friday edition of Sports Talk. I'm Scott Beatty, along with the editor of the News Gazette Sports section and IlliniHQ.com, Matt Daniels. We welcome you in to a good Friday finish. I'm coming to you from South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. Illinois baseball getting a win this afternoon over Michigan State, 15-4. And Matt Daniels has been monitoring the rest of the sports world while I've been out here. How you doing, sir?
Doing well, Scott. It seems like you're here with me in studio here in Champaign, coming in crystal clear from Greenville, South Carolina. Are you still on top of the left field wall at all right now, or did the Illinois baseball bus leave you there? Are you just at the stadium by yourself? What's going on?
Well, here's the good news. The hotel's walking distance.
Good.
That's all. And I decided that with the temperatures plummeting at this hour... I know you all think you're here in South Carolina and you think I'm just sitting in tropical paradise. Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit warmer. I'd say it's in the high 40s right now.
It's 41 here.
Yeah, so it's not balmy out, and I decided I'm not going to gut it out. It's starting to get chilly out there, so I hightailed it into the press box here. I just threw everything into the case. Wires, coming out of every corner of the case, and I hightailed it up in here and in time.
It's like what you do every day when you host sports talk here in Champaign.
Throwing things together, that's for sure.
Are you tired of talking yet, Scott, since the baseball game went on for almost 4 hours?
That has never happened. Just ask my parents and my wife.
We'll,
that has never happened.
We'll be sure to do that later.
So I understand that I was alerted here during the game that Illinois got a nice commit on the mm-hmm. basketball side.
Yeah, right around the time first pitch happened for Illinois baseball this afternoon is when Samba Kane declared that he is committed to the Illinois men's basketball program. He's a class of 2018 prospect out of Florida via Senegal, who is still on his official visit right now on the University of Illinois campus, but. Illinois finally added a big man. He's almost 7 feet tall, a little bit raw. Don't know what you're going to get from him offensively right away, but as anyone that watched Illinois basketball this past season saw, they needed some defensive help, especially in the post and a rim protector, and it seems that Samba Kane kind of fits that mold of being a defensive first guy, and whatever offense he can provide is gravy, but he's in there. It seemed whenever he does, appear on the court at some point in his Illinois career, he'll be in there to provide some needed presence around the basket on the defensive end.
Tweeting out today, Samba Kane, first of all, I want to thank God and my mom for always supporting me during the process. I also want to thank the Illinois typo staff for giving me this great opportunity. Special thanks to Flying Star and Florida Prep. I'm blessed to announce that I've decided to commit to Illinois. Sounds as firm as you're going to get from a commit without a signature mm-hmm. on a piece of paper yet. And I think Brad Underwood surely needs somebody tall. Yeah, I think the big question is how quickly can he provide for you? And I think there's answers offensively, but you need somebody to get in the way of the other side.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think his role will be. He's still raw in terms of his potential and not a finished product by any means, but he can provide some energy on the defensive end, and that was sorely lacking at times this season for Illinois, and second straight Friday too for Illinois basketball that they receive a commitment after Alan Griffin did the same thing last week. So not right now, as the scholarship grid currently stands on this Friday evening. They have one open scholarship available, and I'm sure the roster reshuffling and revamping will continue to take shape as the offseason progresses.
Yeah, the big question that we talked about with Lauren Tate this week is, will LeRon Black stay with mm-hmm. Illinois with a desire to turn pro and make some money? And, more power to him if he does that, but Illinois really needs him to stay.
Yeah, exactly. He's a guy that really elevated his game this past season, and you saw him become a consistent offensive force, not just a guy that was out there to provide some energy and grab some rebounds and use his allotment of five fouls like we saw him do a lot early on in his Illinois career. And his honorable mention, all Big Ten pick, if he does come back to Illinois, he's still likely be the focal point on offense and be that steady, consistent score on the block and that mid-range game that he really refined this season. And Hasn't come out yet what he may or may not do, but if he does come back, that's a huge bonus for Illinois and only helps them more getting ready for the 2018-19 season.
Any rumblings on how the visit is going for Tevion Jones? I don't even know if he's in yet.
Yeah.
He's making his visit this weekend, a four-star wing player.
Yeah, out of California, can provide some high-flying athleticism for him and kind of a presence on the wing. And all visits, especially official visits, are going to, you know, the Underwood and his staff are going to put out the full-court press to try to woo him and get him to be a part of the roster, and all indications are so far that it'll go well when he does arrive. Like I said, I'm not entirely sure if he's actually here yet on campus. I haven't, you know, checked Twitter in a few hours, so I guess I'm behind on the times with that. But it's the silly season right now for Illinois basketball, but also a hugely important part of rebuilding this program and trying to get it back to becoming a consistent winner that it was for so many years. And Brad Underwood's been out on the road a lot this week, along with he and the rest of his staff. And I know Tuesday night he was up in Burbank seeing Iota Sumu and Morgan Park, and then later on checking out some junior college prospects in the week. And now you got Samba Kane on campus, Tevion Jones. It's a big weekend for Illinois basketball. I do know that Tevion Jones, I believe, has a workout at Ubbin tomorrow morning that I believe all Illinois fans are encouraged to come out and check him out, kind of like what Illinois did this past fall with Iota Sumo when he was on campus, and same thing with Talen Horton Tucker when he was here on campus for his visit as well.
We're off and running here on Sports Talk. When we come back, we're going to switch gears to hockey, and we will talk with Mike Snee. He heads up College Hockey Incorporated. He was a voice on that study that surprised no one when it said that Illinois hockey could be very successful. We'll talk to him a little bit more about why and what he would like to see from the college hockey side of things out of a program at Illinois. Bob Osmussen will stop by later to give us the world according to him. I'm Scott Beatty. I'm in South Carolina. Matt Daniels is in studio in Champaign, and we'll talk with Mike Snee when we come back on this Friday Sports Talk.
Join me, Dave Ramsey, tonight on News Talk 1400 DWS.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Scott Beatty and Matt Daniels with you on a Friday. Thanks for riding along. Earlier today, Illinois baseball won their sixth in a row, a 15-4 final. I'm coming to you from South Carolina, where that happened. Matt Daniels in studio, and joining us now from the Twin Cities of Minnesota, Mike Snee. He heads up College Hockey Incorporated. Going to talk a bit about hockey on the campus of the University of Illinois. Good evening, Mike. How are you?
I'm good, Scott. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for joining us to talk about the only sort of snide remarks I've heard around the topic of hockey and the University of Illinois is the fact that a study was done, because the results of that study said what everybody anticipated, is that hockey could be very successful at Illinois. But from your perspective, what did the study provide, given that everybody expected it to say that?
I've heard that as well. It's like when you're thirsty, you just drink water. You don't need to do a study about what to do. but I think also it's doing the due diligence. You know, if you have an idea that you have a strep throat, you still have a strep test. You know, so I agree with that. I think everybody we've talked to, everybody we've encountered, whether they're involved in college hockey or just in hockey, feels that hockey done right at Illinois is I don't want to say it's a certainty, but it's as close to being a certainty as something can become. But nevertheless, the NHL and the NHL Players Association has agreed to pay for feasibility studies for up to five schools that wanted to do it, and Illinois was the first to raise their hand, and so we did it there. And I think nothing surprised us in what they found out in going through the process.
Could you tell us a little bit about what your organization aims to do at College Hockey Incorporated for folks that are unfamiliar?
Yeah, and I would imagine that's everybody. we're a small three-person organization funded by USA Hockey, which is the governing body for the sport in our country. And in essence, what I would say, especially to to people in Champaign, right in the middle of Big Ten country. We want to take full advantage of the sport of college, or I should say of college hockey, for the benefit of the sport of hockey. So in other words, we want to do for hockey what college basketball does for basketball, what college football does for football. In certain areas, that's being done. As you said, I'm up here in the Twin Cities. In Minnesota, college hockey is huge, and it certainly inspires kids to play hockey and to fall in love with the game, players and fans. And that's occurring in other places, Wisconsin and Michigan and through New England, but not everywhere, and not in Illinois. And as great as the sport is in Illinois right now, and led by the Blackhawks and all the way down to the ever-increasing numbers of kids playing the sport, there's a big donut when it comes to college hockey in Illinois. And there's a lot of kids and or a lot of young men and young women playing college hockey that come from Illinois, but right now every single one of them has to leave the state to play it at the Division I level. There is a Division III program in Lake Forest, and then there are plenty of ACHA club programs. But right now there are no NCAA Division I programs, and so that's a hole that we want to fill. And Illinois is not alone. A few other places out in the southwestern part of the country, California, Arizona had been that way until Arizona stepped up. And then in actually most places in the south, other than in Alabama and Arizona, there is no college hockey. So we were created to, among other things, address that.
Hey, Mike, this is Matt Daniels with the News Gazette newspaper here in Champaign. Just in turn, doing the feasibility study, how often did you communicate with Illinois Athletic Director Josh Whitman, and what was that process like at all?
So I actually initiated some communication with Josh well before the feasibility study. It was very close to his start date. He'll tell you it was the first day, and I actually think I gave him a week or two before I called him. But had a lot of communication with Josh and with Warren, and as we started the conversation off, you know, did we really need to do a feasibility study? I think that they were sold on this, convinced on this opportunity before we even started the feasibility study. Once the feasibility study started, I have to give full credit to the NHL and the Players Association. They're paying for it. And then the organization that they're paying, the consulting company, they worked mostly with Warren and Josh in terms of putting the study together. But our organization has continued to work closely with them. And also, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks have been unbelievably supportive of this effort from the start, not just with the University of Illinois, but with the idea of college hockey in Illinois. And then once Josh and the staff and the leadership at the University of Illinois indicated that they were interested in pursuing the notion of it, I should say, the Blackhawks then threw their support through it. And they've been great since day one.
What is the benefit for an NHL team like the Blackhawks? Why are they so vested in this?
I'll use this area as an example where I'm from, Minnesota. The University of Minnesota college hockey team, men's and women's teams, and the NHL team here, the Minnesota Wild, they complement each other. It's not a competitive type relationship. I think in a sport like hockey, which has some, I would just say, requirements that other sports don't have in terms of facilities and skill. You know, it's not a running-based sport. And if you're not involved in it, you might be intimidated by it. So to grow it, I think we need external influences more than other sports do. So in other words, we need a local NHL team to win 3 Stanley Cups. We need aggressive marketing to introduce kids to the sport. And what is interesting about hockey is where it seems other sports' issue is not in getting kids to try it, it might be in retention. Our issue is in getting kids to try it. Once they try it, they stick with it. So to answer your question, I think the Blackhawks, and I don't want to put words in their mouths, but I think they quickly see that, one, the opportunity to further grow the sport by having it collegiately, that they'll work together and complement each other, not compete with each other. And then I think also it's just for the sake of what they've created, and what they've created is a very successful youth hockey environment in the whole state and certainly in the Chicago area. And right now, I like to call it it's a brain drain of hockey talent. For example, this year there's 85 young men from the state of Illinois playing NCAA Division I hockey. That's more than any state other than Minnesota, Michigan, and Massachusetts. And every single one of those players is playing it in a state other than Illinois. So I think you want to address that, and that number is not going to shrink just based off of the number of 8, 9, and 10-year-olds playing hockey today in Illinois.
Mike, one of the big items that stuck out in the feasibility study and also with the Illinois Athletic Department concurring was the opinion to, if hockey were to become a varsity sport at Illinois, that they would play in a downtown arena. I know there were some other proposals for a possible arena out on campus near State Farm Center. In terms of your work with the feasibility study, just what can you speak about in terms of the downtown location that made it kind of stand out at all?
Our organization, I certainly don't know the Champaign-Urbana market. I've been there several times now, but I can't pretend to be an expert on that one. Sorry. And I think that those conversations were more from the consultant and from the administration.
That's all right. Neither are we.
I've seen it. I've seen the spot that they have in mind. And I think that it would, if you could place this facility there, it would be a great location for an arena, and certainly a great location for hockey games.
How important is it, just in the grand scheme of things, when you're trying to jumpstart a hockey program, to get the facility right and get the venue that make sure that's the right choice for the future of the program at all?
That's a great question. I think it's more important than maybe than just a fan might think. And a good example of that, and something that we've used as a blueprint, is a success that Penn State has had. And they built the right size facility, and they've sold out almost every single game they've played. I don't know the exact attendance. It's around 6,500. And so some might think, like, well, why didn't you build it bigger? As I've heard before, you don't always build a church for Easter Sunday. That there is something to be said for intimacy and demand of the ticket and having every seat full as often as possible. So I think that's critical. And what I've heard from Illinois, not pretending to be an expert in ice facilities by any means, but it sounds like they agree with that, and they want to create something where demand is high and the atmosphere is great. And the experience every Friday and Saturday night when they have a home game is going to keep people coming back.
We're talking with Mike Snee. He's the executive director of College Hockey Incorporated and a part of the feasibility study that just came out saying that, yeah, hockey could work at the University of Illinois. Mike, let's talk about the competition. My understanding is that the Big Ten is pretty good, but in the college landscape, it's a little bit different, you know, than the national champion, for example, came out of Denver. Well, that's not a school you hear much about in any other sports. So what is the landscape like for the Big Ten, and what kind of level of hockey would Illinois fans be seeing?
They'll see the best of Division I hockey. I think the Big Ten had a couple of down years in their first few years. They brought Notre Dame on as an affiliate member this year. Notre Dame right now, if the season ended, would be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. And Minnesota and Penn State and likely Michigan, I mean, other programs will make the NCAA tournament this year. And if you just look at their recent history, I think it's more of an aberration that the first 2 years that they've been the Big Ten have been, by their high standards, perhaps a little bit below what they would expect at places like Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota. But if you've seen the passion those fans have for college hockey at those places, the facilities they have, and of course how great the schools are, they and their coaching staffs, they'll be back to where they normally are very soon, if not by next year. And I would actually point Illinois students and alumni and fans and people interested to see what Penn State has done. Penn State started hockey, started Division I hockey 5 seasons ago, I believe, and then really are now just in their first full class of recruited players to play Division I hockey. And they are doing very well on the ice, as I mentioned earlier, doing very well off the ice. It's an impactful thing. And they made the NCAA tournament last year. They were one game away from going to Chicago for the Frozen Four. And I wouldn't be surprised if pretty soon they make a Frozen Four and eventually compete for the national championship every year. And I strongly believe that'll be the same situation in Champaign.
How do you feel? Sorry, how do you fill up a roster the first time you play?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's how Penn State did it is they had a high-performing ACHA club team. So does Illinois. So that's one route. But I also, you know, the way that hockey gets recruited, I think like most NCAA sports now, it's not necessarily committing kids in the spring of their senior year to show up on campus in 4 months. So there's a strategy for it. Arizona State's going through it right now. They're a few years behind Penn State in terms of they just completed their second full year of NCAA hockey. It's similar, I suppose, to an expansion team. You put together a roster in the beginning, and you'll likely lose more games than you win in year one and year two. But eventually you bring in that first full class of recruited players. But I also don't want to pretend that I have all the answers for that right now.
Mike Snee is with us from
I think who has all the answers for that is George McPhee, who's the general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights.
That's true. Yeah, right. We're having a great season.
Go ahead, Matt.
Just in terms of the biggest challenge, and Josh Whitman addressed this yesterday when talking to the media, is just finding the funding for hockey to become a reality at Illinois. Like the feasibility study said, the enthusiasm's there and the support from the fans is there. Just what is the next step for you and your group in this process at all of trying to help Illinois eventually add varsity hockey as a sport?
We've been assisting them for the past year or so in identifying people who love the school, love the sport, love Illinois, some combination of that, and have just been sharing with them, I suppose, in a pretty in a high level way. The notion of it and the vision for it and what it could become. And it's exciting. Every time I'm in those meetings and I start to hear what Josh has planned for it, you know, and that it's to build a championship caliber hockey program, I get excited for it because I also know the impact that that will have on furthering how strong things are in Illinois. So that's really what we've been doing. I don't want to comment too much on what they're doing. It really is an Illinois project, not a College Hockey Inc. project now, and we're assisting them where possible. It's been fun for me to watch how they do this and build all of this excitement. And I think obviously the announcement that the feasibility study is complete and it's validated every assumption that everyone's had is exciting. And now it's time to figure it out.
Mike, I know you're up on the clock here. Last question. Illinois has a pretty popular club team, and I'm surprised to hear that they're really supportive of this. And the first thing I thought was, oh, this is going to overshadow them. But it can be good for a club team as well to have Division I hockey in?
I think so, yeah. It's at schools where they have Division I hockey, they also have club programs. And club hockey, which is ACHA, is for those in hockey, that's what it's called, is very well run, high-level hockey, and the Illinois team is one of the better programs in the country. I think that they serve to some degree slightly different purposes, and they both can exist. And I also would say that's a reflection of the sport. I think people involved in hockey, there's an advocacy stewardship aspect to it, and you're seeing that with the Blackhawks and with the NHL. There's this desire to just get in and make the environment better and get as many kids, boys and girls, to put skates on and people to fall in love with the game. So that's evidenced by the club program at Illinois being fully supportive, the Chicago Blackhawks being fully supportive, and the NHL and the NHLPA partnering here. And I don't want to make a joke, but you know, they don't always necessarily partner in everything, but I shouldn't say it that way, but you know, they've had occasions where maybe they aren't getting as long as well as they are, and they're a support of our pursuit, which is exciting and makes me proud to be part of the hockey community, because I think we really in the end just want more people involved in it, and certainly we want the University of Illinois to be having NCAA Division I hockey soon.
Well, Mike, we certainly appreciate you spending some time with us. A lot of momentum starting to build behind this, and I think we may have occasion to talk again.
Yeah, hopefully it's between periods at the new arena sometime in the next few years. That'd be fun.
All right. Hey, Mike, take care.
Thanks, Mike.
You got it. Yep. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Snee, he's Executive Director of College Hockey Incorporated. Matt, I've said it a few times now on this program, and I take nothing away from the other sports that are going on at the University of Illinois, because there's a lot of energy around them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm immersed in baseball right now is one of them, but I think if hockey gets going, it is instantly the third most popular sport.
Yeah, exactly, behind men's basketball. You might want to throw men's basketball recruiting in there as well as a sport.
that's the more popular sport right now. Yeah,
exactly, than football. But yeah, hockey's got the chance if it finds its legs here, finds its feet, and gets off the ground to have an immense impact, not only on the athletic scene at the University of Illinois, but also on the whole community aspect of it too. And the potential for that downtown arena, I think, excites a lot of people. And it also could benefit other programs at Illinois too, like volleyball and wrestling and gymnastics that are all using Huff Hall now and potentially may move to that downtown arena in a few years if this project comes to fruition.
Put the Matt Daniels press box up there.
We'll go Lauren Tate first. Tate press box.
He doesn't deserve one.
Yeah, just a little. He might.
All right, you're probably right. All right, we'll talk to Bob Osmussen, who may want his own press box as well, when we come back and get the world according to him. It's a Friday Sports Talk. Scott and Matt with you back in a second.
Hi, this is Jim Lewis with you tomorrow morning at 6. We'll be talking with folks from the Mettler Center, Holder Wealth Management, and Swanson's Roofing tomorrow morning here on DWS.
542 Sports Talk on DWS. Scott Beatty with Matt Daniels. Bob Osmussen joins us now. Guys, breaking news. We have to stop and discuss this because I just saw on Twitter that leading off Ebertfest in April, The Fugitive.
Excellent.
With Harrison Ford. Are you fans?
Huge fan, but it wasn't filmed in Chicago. Well, I guess part of it was, but the cliff scene of the waterfall scene was in North Carolina. So that's always bugged me.
Yeah, one of the early scenes when the bus rolls over and down the hillside and all that too is like, okay, that's not in Northern Illinois.
No, not at all, but still cool. A lot of Chicago scenes in there. Of course, they held in different places, but yeah, I love that movie. If it's on, I'll watch it. It's one of those deals where, like Animal House, I'm strolling it through. I'll stop and watch it.
It's down the street, at the Ebert Fest. That's just great that a movie like The Fugitive's kicking off Ebert Fest. I love it. Anyway, Bob,
tell that story about The Fugitive just now? I was in the newsroom, Scott, so I apologize. I missed
which one?
About how when Big Ten Media Days was there, like in 2013, 2014, you walked in there and you thought you were going to see Harrison Ford.
I was hoping. I was hoping, yeah.
That was your first words out of your mouth when you walked
in. I'm sure
into
that's
Hilton.
Right. Well, it's a cool place.
It was like 7:30 in the morning there. And getting ready to hear 14 Big Ten coaches all talk about their teams, and you were worried.
Was that Tim Beckman?
I didn't kill
no,
my wife.
No, that wasn't the Oski moment. I think it was 2014. Okay. But that's the first thing that you, when you walked in there, you were really expecting to see Harrison Ford walking around. Good times.
Yes.
I love it. All right. Bob, are you having a good time at spring football?
Oh, yeah,
of
course.
You're freezing, aren't you, Bob?
Oh, it's fine. I've got a big coat. I credit my wife. She bought me a huge coat a couple years ago. I could be in Alaska. I'd be fine. But
it's going to be 90 degrees out, and you'll be wearing a sweater.
That's true. I'm always cold. But it's been fine. Honestly, I wish we could watch more. We get half an hour. Basically, I'm watching guys stretch, okay? That doesn't do a lot for me. They're in good shape. I can tell you that. But it's not a lot of fun to watch guys stretch. But I'd like to see more of what they're doing. I understand why Rod Smith doesn't want to show us because if I'm him, I don't give anybody that edge. But I think he can let me in. I've been here a long time. I think he should make a special exception for me only.
Maybe he's listening right now, Bob.
Hopefully he is. He's probably working on the next practice, I hope.
Hanging on your every word. I guess, the big storyline has been Cam Thomas and what Rod Smith is doing with him, but you recognize you got some more scholarship quarterbacks coming in the summer. So,
right.
Is this Cam Thomas's gig or not? This is just who he's got to work with right now.
Sure looks like it is right now. I think they're going to give him every opportunity to take the job. Now, in the fall, actually in the summer, they'll get a better idea. In the fall, there'll be a chance for MJ Rivers or
Corrin Taylor
or Matt Robinson, any of those guys, to take the job. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Cam Thomas is going to be the guy. The possible maybe change in that is if they bring in a high-profile grad transfer, But I'm not even sure if those guys would take the job from him. But it kind of depends on who it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, Cam Thomas right now has got the upper hand since he's going through spring ball. He's sitting in on meetings with Rod Smith. He'll have, 4 to 5 months worth of knowledge already stored up by the time, Rivers and Taylor and Robinson all get on campus this summer. And then once they get on campus, it's not like they can do a lot of activities with the coaches. They're basically in the hands of the strength and conditioning staff until training camp starts. And who knows what once training camp starts and the practices get going and, guys are playing, college football for the first time in their lives, how they're going to react to everything. And we'll see if their natural talents can come out. But I think right now going into the season, at least at this point in mid-March, it's clear cut that Cam Thomas is the starting quarterback for Ireland, unless these guys just come in August and
comes to go crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Scott, I like what Cam Thomas is saying. I like what how he's verbalizing all the things he's learning. I think that's all good. And I'll tell you what, I've the one change I've seen in the half an hour I get to watch, I think the effort is better. I'm not even sure why. I think maybe the guys on offense are trying to impress Rod Smith, which I would be too. And he's easy guy to like, easy guy to play for, and I think that's going to help them. So they're a little bit better. My early assessment of the half an hour I get to watch every day.
The one thing that made my head scratch a little bit, or made me scratch my head, I should say, is that Justice Williams moving from linebacker to wide receiver, what that's all about, especially when the Illini are thin at linebacker.
Seems like they got plenty of receivers. And seems like they need more linebackers. Yeah, I'm puzzled by that. It could be a deal where he said, hey, I'd like to give this a shot. Levy Smith is pretty open about letting guys try to do things they want to do, and if you're going to do it, now is the time. Maybe a couple of practices there, he'll say, wait a minute, let's go back to linebacker.
Yeah, he's a guy that, a few training camps ago was repping with the first team in August at linebacker and just hasn't matriculated onto the field in certain situations at the linebacker spot. But, yeah, the depth there at linebacker is certainly thin, especially when Trey Watson transfers out to Maryland and you lose a few other guys there and you're not sure how a guy like Jake Hansen's going to respond after tearing his ACL last training camp. So, but Lovie Smith and his staff see them a lot more than we do.
Jake Hansen, as I understand it, is on pace to play. So I think the coach is really excited about him. I think they think he's going to be not just a good player, but maybe a great player for Illinois.
NCAA basketball, all the conference tournaments are going on right now, except for the Big Ten, because they already did their tournament.
Oh, well, sigh.
Yeah. The NCAA is going to do things a little bit backwards this weekend, and they're going to announce every team.
So dumb.
Yeah, I agree.
So dumb.
Here's what I don't understand. Not only is it the idea not liked, but how does that not – who doesn't, like, flag it to Emmert or whoever at the NCAA and say, hey – nobody likes this idea. Does he not have people around him that can tell him no? They can say, hey, stop.
Maybe,
this isn't a good idea.
Maybe not. And frankly, might not be up to them. Might have been TBS saying, hey, this is our deal. We're going to do it like this. And they're paying the money. So they want to unveil the entire field. I think it really does matter in the grand scheme of things.
Go outside, stop a few people on the street and say, hey, do you like this idea or not? And when everyone says no, and go, maybe we should rethink this here.
It diminishes to me the whole buzz about the show because you watch the show and the selection show just to see the brackets. And basically now they basically have a camera on every single team that may or may not get in.
Right.
So you want to see the reaction and you've never seen that until they unveil the brackets. Now, a couple years ago, they got slammed for waiting so long to unveil the brackets, and then they got back to just getting the brackets out there and then breaking down all the analysis.
That's the way
it defeats the whole purpose, the whole drama, the whole appeal of it by just, here's all 68 teams. Okay, that's great. Because the thing is, too, once you unveil the bracket as well, it's not known immediately what day, what time they're going to play.
Right.
You don't find that out until later on Sunday night. It's just... why mess with a good thing?
Here's my guess. My guess is the committee is going to surprise you. And a lot of people have been saying four Big Ten teams. And I know those four are locked in. Don't be surprised if they take another one.
Nebraska.
The question mark is
Nebraska or Penn State.
Yeah, and you know, yesterday Lenardi had him out.
Right. The selection committee chairman is the ADA Creighton, and he's watched Nebraska, I'm sure, a lot this year. He knows that that's a tournament team. My bias is coming.
Yeah, no, your home state bias is. Yeah.
It is, but I'm telling you, right, I won't be surprised if the committee does some things that are kind of squirrely.
No, I mean, and everyone gets hooked in on who's on the bubble and who's not right now, and you're not talking about Nebraska as being potentially in, I think, one, because the Big Ten tournament's not going on right now.
Right.
Everyone's focused in on all the other conference tournaments that are going on.
I think it doesn't serve the Big Ten either, because there's going to be some recency bias, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you
as a committee person said at the end of Big Ten tournament, for example, and I'm not saying this happened, but you said, okay, Nebraska's in, and then you're going to forget about them for the next 10 days, and you're going to look at who's hot right now.
Right.
Yeah, and then you take a look at another Big Ten team that you know is going to be one of the 68 teams, and that's Ohio State, for a team that for the better part of the season was up there and contending for the Big Ten title.
Right.
And then they lose their first and only game at the Big Ten tournament last Friday, which seems like a month ago at this time, and they won't play again until next Thursday or Friday, which is almost 2 weeks off. And you have to wonder, too, how much that might affect their seeding. Are they going to be could they have been a 3 or 4 seed, but now may they fall into that, you know, 5-6 seed, where those games are always a potential for an upset.
You kind of got to it something too, Matt. The potential for the Big Ten with a 2-week break between the games that ended and the tournament, well, almost 2 weeks, that could damage these teams.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, they had jammed the season together. I think it hurt all the teams at the front end and now at the back end. So now watch, in Michigan State will win the title, and Ohio State will be in the Final Four, and Purdue will be the Final Four. But we'll have to see how it works. Jim Delaney, if he gets a team in the title game or another Final Four team, he's going to be laughing, mm-hmm, because everybody's, mm-hmm, been jumping.
Well, I'm sure he's laughing already because of all the money.
It's true. Cha-ching.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. If that happens too, then I will say, Jim Delaney, you were right. We were wrong.
Nah, but I won't say that.
You said that earlier, though, about BTN.
Some of the games in the books here, Rhode Island beats VCU 76-67. SEC tournament, Kentucky over Georgia 62-49. Getting ready to tip off Kansas State.
Weber's,
remember that guy,
battle.
Bruce Weber, that left unceremoniously here after leaving Custard Cup? He's just, all he's done is get Kansas State often into the tournament.
Right.
Yeah, and you're looking, I think, Kansas and Kansas State to me are locks to get in the tournament. Oklahoma, I think, just with the potential of Trey Young to take over a game, I think that gets the Sooners over the hump and possibly into the tournament. Then you're looking at three former Illinois coaches again in the NCAA tournament.
That's pretty cool.
Once more.
Bill Self, obviously a great coach, great recruiter. I don't think Bruce Weber gets enough credit as a coach. I know recruiting has been kind of up and down for him, but he's a great coach, great, mm-hmm, game coach, great day-to-day coach. I think he gets more out of his guys than anybody else. I would say Alon Kruger was one of those guys too, but I think maybe it's the Kansas State connection. I don't know. But I think Weber has really done a great job there. Winning like he is, that place is incredible.
I keep thinking that as the years go by, Bruce Weber is going to be remembered more and more fondly beyond,
no question,
just the national championship run.
No question.
Yeah, I mean, he consistently led them for the better part of his tenure into the NCAA tournament every year. It wasn't a question of if Illinois was going to make the tournament. It was a question of, okay, where are they going to be seated?
Right.
Who are they going to play? And now we're sitting on 5 straight seasons without Illinois in the NCAA tournament, which, if you think back to when Bruce Weber was hired, that was unheard of. You would have been looked at sideways if you would have said that in Champaign 15 years ago.
One coach has led them to the title game, and it was him.
Mm-hmm.
And I, again, with other persons, the other coaches, players, but he still did the trick.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, Bob, appreciate you stopping by. Enjoy your weekend.
Hey, safe travels.
Okay, thanks a lot. World According to Bob Osmussen. And you've got Sports Talk here on a Friday. I want to let you know that Swanson Roofing is starting to book out for even already the summer when it comes to replacing roofs. You maybe were thinking about it last year, or thinking maybe 2018 is the year we got to get something done. I'd start looking at it now. Give them a call, 355-ROOF. Corey Swanson and his wife Melissa run the company, and they bring along a crew of employees, not subcontractors. That's important because that ups the investment that the crew has in doing a good job for you when they're working on your roof. And maybe you don't need a full-on replacement, maybe just some small repairs, or you're not sure. Maybe you're thinking you're in between. You don't know. That's why you call Swanson Roofing. They'll get out there. They'll look at it. They'll tell you what needs to be done, how soon it needs to be done. If it's something that can wait, they'll be straight up with you. And when they do the job, you'll be impressed with how they do it. Guarantee for the lifetime of your roof. After that, their workmanship is. The materials are guaranteed for 50 years. So it's a win when you go there to Swanson Roofing. Give them a call at 355-ROOF. You can visit them online at theroofingdog.com. They serve almost all of anybody who's listening over the air right now. Champaign, Vermilion, McLean counties, you name it, they'll go do it. Give them a call, 355-ROOF and theroofingdog.com. Matt and I are back in a moment.
It's the Plan Experts live from Prairie Gardens tomorrow morning at 8:15 here on News Talk 1400 DWS.
Some more Illinois baseball tomorrow. We get going at noon, 11:45 pregame for a doubleheader between the Illini and Furman, and then Michigan State. Matt Daniels, what's coming this weekend?
Yeah, in Sunday's News Gazette, Scott Ritchie takes an in-depth look at Io DeSumo, the Illinois signee, and Lauren Tate sounds off on the Big Ten not having their tournament this week, and Colin Likas provides kind of a glimpse at the upcoming spring sports season, and Bob Osmussen will be at Illinois football practice on Saturday afternoon.
That's all. That's all.
Rest your vocal cords, Scott.
Yeah, I better turn them off for the rest of the night.
You've talked for about 5 hours straight now.
And that's enough, says most people, I'm sure. Thanks a lot, Matt.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
Safe travels back to Champaign.
All right, thank you. Thank you to Mike Snee from College Hockey Incorporated, Bob Osmussen, Blake Landa behind the scenes. We'll bring you Sports Talk. Next scheduled one is Wednesday, but don't forget Saturday Sports Talk tomorrow morning. CBS World News Roundup is next. It's News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station. Good night.